Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Facebook Live. Yes, Dino Andriatis with you once again. We are still in this format for Sundays. The last Sunday, next week, we're celebrating Good Friday and Easter. Tremendous time. Oh, we're excited about that. We will be in church, and we're going to be having a communion service this Friday as we celebrate a tremendous time together. And of course, Easter Sunday. Don't want to miss Easter Sunday. So please prepare for this Friday at 10 a.m. Good Friday and Sunday, Easter Sunday at 10 a.m. as well. And so you just prepare yourself, get the emblems ready for communion. We're going to do this together. And it's always an exciting time when we're able to do that. I want to welcome everybody to Facebook Live. And we want to conclude what we left off on Friday. Many of you know we've been studying Bible characters and gleaning spiritual truths from their lives. We've been going book by book, almost chapter by chapter. We're in the book of Kings. And on Friday, we left off learning about King Hezekiah. What a tremendous man he was, and life lessons we learned from his life. And we want to conclude today. So if you have your Bibles, we are, now before we begin, I just want to say one more thing. If the live feed does disconnect, if it does, because it did last week and we apologize for that, I'll be posting another one right after. So please stay put. Don't get too anxious. Stay put right there. And there'll be another live feed right away. And so please be mindful of that. All right. Thank you so much. We are in 2 Kings 19. We're going to go right to chapter 22 as we are going to be looking also at King Josiah if we have time. But last week we ended off with King Hezekiah. And we know that there were tremendous adversaries, enemies against Judah. We know that Assyria had already captured the 10 northern tribes. They deported the 10 tribes to Assyria. In the year 722, the Assyrian army and nation captured Israel, the 10 tribes, and deported them. And we find out in the scriptures why it happened, because of their disobedience, because of their neglect, and their unwillingness to turn to God time after time after time. And God allowed the Assyrians to come. And they went into captivity, the first captivity of Israel. And now Assyria is still hungry for more. And now they're after Judah. And they're attacking King Hezekiah under the king, Assyrian king, Sennacherib. And I want you to see what happens. The Bible tells us that in 2 Kings, the 19th chapter, that there is a letter that's written from the king to be delivered to Hezekiah. And in this letter, there are a lot of things that are being said. And some of the things that were said were completely demoralizing and mocking the things of God. We see in the 19th chapter that when this letter was brought to Hezekiah, he tore his clothes at an act of repentance and an act of disbelief and pain. And he's mocking God. And he's mocking Hezekiah. And Hezekiah, in verse 14, when he received the letters of the hand of the messengers and he read it, Hezekiah went to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. So he takes this letter that's written by the king, mocking God, mocking Hezekiah, and he places it before the temple. And he lays it and he spreads it and he spreads himself before. He's in absolute consecration. He's ripped his clothes in torment. It's an act of humility, an act of sacrifice. And he spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord. And he said, O God of Israel, which thou dwellest between the cherubims, thou art God, even thou alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear, open, Lord, thine eyes, and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which had sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, O Lord. Now therefore, O God, verse 19, I beseech thee, save thou us out of this hand of this man, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. And we notice that every man of God who's cried out to God has prayed the same thing, that you would be glorified, that they will know that you are God and there's none like you. Nehemiah prayed that way. Daniel prayed that way. David prayed that way. Moses, they all prayed that way. And when Hezekiah cried out to God, the prophet Isaiah, God speaks to Isaiah, and Isaiah has a word. Oh, my friend, there's power in prayer. Friends, on your knees, the believer is invincible. On your knees, there is power. There's power. This is how I fight my battles. Isaiah goes, has a word, because Hezekiah went first to the Lord, just like David. What do you do when you find yourself in trials and pain and discomfort? Who do you turn to? Many people turn to man. You call the pastor, you call your friends. Turn to the Lord first, my friends, not second or third. He turned to God first. That's what you need to do. You see, friends, when we work, but when we go to God, when we pray, God works. When we pray, God works. Isaiah 64 says that the Lord works on behalf of those who wait upon him. This is what we learn about Hezekiah. He was a great king. Tremendous reform took place through his life. A great revival had come. In fact, the Bible tells us in 2 Chronicles 30, verse 36, 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 36, and Hezekiah rejoiced and all the people that God had prepared the people for this thing, and it was done suddenly. People marveled at what God did through Hezekiah's life, and it happened quickly. The Passover was restored. The altar was cleansed. The priests were cleansed, if you will. The nation came back to God. And you can be sure when you're crying out to God and revival breaks through, the enemy will come and attack. And that's what happened. The enemy came. The devil came through Sennacherib to destroy the man of God and to destroy what God is doing. And that principle still applies today, friends. We're in a battle. We may not be fighting against the Sennacheribs of this world, but we're fighting against principalities in high places, not flesh and blood, but principalities. The enemy wants to destroy you and wants to destroy what God wants to do in your life. And prayer is our greatest weapon. A man is not greater than his prayer life, my friend. And that's what we see in Hezekiah's life. That's what we saw in David's life. And every man of God that made any impact in this world, or woman, either one, all of us together, because you find that prayer was their focal point, their lifeblood. Prayer will always be the furnace of the church. And he's crying out to God, and God hears him. And that's why the devil wants to limit your prayers, friends. He will do anything to limit your prayers because he knows that when you pray, you will limit him. Did you hear me? When you pray, you limit the devil's power and influence. He'll do whatever he can to limit you from praying. And that's what he does. He'll allow trials to take place, experiences to get you discouraged, to get you off your knees. But Hezekiah brings this letter and he spreads it before the Lord in the temple. And God intervenes. Do you remember Moses? He lifted up his hands in prayer when Joshua was fighting against the Amalekites. And when he prayed and interceded, Joshua was winning the battle. But when his hands dripped and fell because of his fatigue, the Amalekites were winning the battle. It's a great illustration in Exodus 17 that prayer, my friend, there's power in prayer. I got to ask you a question, friends. It's just something listen, if prayer was your occupation, that's right, if prayer was your occupation, would you still be employed? Think about it. Would you be employed? See, friends, life without prayer is like a tire with no air. Life without prayer is like a tire with no air. You're flat, you're empty, and you're going nowhere. Hezekiah knew there's power in prayer. And Isaiah responds, God speaks. And Isaiah in verse number 20 of chapter 19 in 2 Kings, then Isaiah, the son of Amos, says, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib. You prayed, Hezekiah, and I heard you. This is the word of the Lord. Because Sennacherib has blasphemed the Lord and has exalted himself and lifted himself against the Holy One of Israel and against me, here's the word of the Lord. Therefore, verse 32, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into the city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before the shield. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into the city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it, for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. Oh, there we go again, for my servant David's sake. Why is David's name mentioned over and over again? He's gone, he's dead. But God peeps me because of what David did and how he lived, because he was a man after God's heart. And this is why God elevated David, not so much for the things that he did, because of his heart. He loved God, the greatest commandment of all, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and strength. And David was a man who truly loved God. And it was so visible by how he prayed and sought him. And God honored him because of it. And even Jesus came through his lineage because David had a heart after God. This is what God is looking for, friends. And so God gives a word to Hezekiah through the prophet. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote the camp of the Assyrians and 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, there was all these dead corpses. God vindicated them. A miracle. They didn't even have a strong army. God just vindicated, performed a miracle. God gave a promise and it happened that same day. My friends, God's promises are yes and amen. God's promises don't come with an expiration date, you can be sure, but they will come. When God gives a promise, it doesn't always come overnight. It could take many years, months. Only God knows, but it will come because his promises are true and his promises come without expiration dates. All you have to do is trust him. God gives you a word. You may not see it come to pass right away, but it will. You can be sure of that as we see over and over again. Have we seen God intervene like this? Yes, we have. We've seen it. We've seen it. When you look at Chronicles, we're talking about Hezekiah. The Bible tells us in chapter 32, as God, even through Hezekiah, notice what happens. And the Lord sent, watch now, out of a mighty man of valor, leaders, and they returned, and the Syria, and they were brought shame, and they slew, look, they slew him. They slew Sennacherib in the temple. Just like God said what happened to him, Sennacherib was destroyed. Look what it says. And it came to pass as he was worshiping, this is Sennacherib, in the house of Nishosh, his God, that his son smote him as he was worshiping. And we see this taking place a little bit later on. So watch this, friends. God gives a word of prophecy through Isaiah. Not only would God defend Israel, but that Sennacherib would die among his gods. So he's mocking God, and now Sennacherib is going to be killed in the temple of his gods through his sons. And it's exactly what happened. And God has done this over and over again. God vindicating the people of Israel because of somebody crying out. It happened with Jehoshaphat. Do you remember what happened in 2 Chronicles chapter 20? We see this happening also. Jehoshaphat cries out to God. He proclaims a fast. The enemy is coming against him. He's outnumbered 10 to 1. It doesn't look very good. He proclaims a fast. He cries out to God. God says, I'm going to take care of you. The prophet gives a word. This battle is of the Lord. And look what happens. And when they consulted, he sent the singers to go into battle. Now watch what happens. And when they began to praise the Lord, they ambushed against the children of Ammon and Moab. They started fighting against each other, for the children of Ammon stood against them, and they destroyed each other one by one. A miracle took place. Here's these enemies coming against Judah, and all of a sudden they start fighting against themselves. God vindicated. And we see this over and over again, God vindicating his people. Isaiah has a word, his promise. God made a promise and it came to pass. He defended Judah. He doesn't tell us how he's going to defend. Here in Jehoshaphat's case, they fought against themselves. And with Hezekiah, an angel came and smote them. God vindicates, God honors prayer. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And Hezekiah teaches this. No matter how dangerous, no matter how difficult, as we cry out to God, God will vindicate. But friends, it's very sad, because as great as these things are, we've also seen great men of God who cried out to God over a period of time. They end up getting into trouble because their eyes are off the Lord. Something happens and they cause them to sway a little bit, and they end up getting off track, as it happened with Hezekiah. Now watch it. This is a very important life lesson. So God has blessed Hezekiah. He's defeated the enemies. Hezekiah's on a high. Revival has come. The nation has returned to God. These are tremendous times during Hezekiah's reign. Times to rejoice. But as I've said over and over again, Satan comes to you in two areas of your life. When you're at your highest and when you're at your lowest. When you're at your lowest, he tells you how terrible you are. You're no good. You never amount to anything. But when you're at your highest, he lets pride enter your house, into your heart. Oh, I'm great. Look how powerful I am. There's none like me. And many times pride begins to rise up. We've seen this in David's life when he counted the census. God never told him to do that. His kingdom was so big, David wanted to count the numbers. And the Bible says Satan tempted him. David suffered the consequences of that when David was at his highest peak. Hezekiah has experienced great victory. And now the devil comes. Now watch what happens. And this is a life lesson. This is something we need to understand. And in those days, Hezekiah was sick unto death. Now watch this now. The prophet Isaiah said, you better prepare yourself, Hezekiah. You're going to die. And then he turned his face towards the wall and began to pray. This is what Hezekiah knows. He's a man of prayer. And he cries out and he beseeches the Lord. He says, Lord, I've walked with you. My heart was right with you. And it was. And it came to pass that Isaiah was gone out into the middle court. The word of the Lord came to him and said, turn again, go back to Hezekiah. And tell him, watch this now. Hezekiah, captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father. Here's David's name again. David. It seems to be his name. He lays the course. The plumb line sets a precedence of really what a true king is. Despite David's failures, his name keeps coming up. I have heard thy prayer, Hezekiah. Wow. Hezekiah is about to die. You see, Hezekiah didn't have a son yet. And many scholars believe that he wanted to have a son, a child, so that he could take the kingdom, take his throne. We're not sure the reason why, but he wanted to live. And he cried out, I've heard your prayer. I've seen your tears. He sees your tears. Though tears may endure for a night, joy cometh in the morning. He sees your tears. He hears your prayers. I've seen your tears, Hezekiah. I've heard you. And I will heal thee on the third day, and thou shalt go into thy house of the Lord, and I will add 15 years to your life. Oh, my friends, it's God who adds or takes away. My times are in your hands, David said. God is in control of all things. It is appointed unto man once to die, then the judgment, he knows exactly how long. He's in control and he gives him 15 years and it looks great. It sounds great. It's a tremendous time. Hezekiah's all excited. But friends, be careful what you pray for. Do you remember Israel prayed that they would have meat? They weren't happy with the manna. And in Psalms, the Bible says when God heard their cry for meat, he gave them so much quail, they choked on their quail and they died. Hezekiah has 15 more years, but something horrible happened during those times. Pride got into his heart. Pride is the mother of all sins. And I want you to see what happens. Here comes the devil again. Remember, he comes at your highest point. He came, and here he is. He's got a victory. God healed him. His name is spread. The Bible says God gave him favor. Over and over again. And now, the Babylonians want to visit him. Now watch this. In that day, they came, the king of Babylon sent letters to present to Hezekiah. They said, for he has heard that Hezekiah had been sick, and Hezekiah hearkened unto them, and they showed him all of the house of the precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the ointments, all that was found in the treasures. Nothing was hid in the house, dominion, and Hezekiah showed them not every single thing. Why are you doing that, Hezekiah? This is the enemies of God. Why are you showing all your trophies, if you will? All the things that you've accomplished, all the things that you have. See, that's what David did. He took the census to know how many people he had in his kingdom. It was an act of pride. And Hezekiah, God speaks through Hezekiah to Isaiah the prophet. Isaiah comes and he says, King Hezekiah, what said these men? From whence did they come to? Hezekiah said, well, they are come from a far country, even from Babylon. And he said, what have they seen in your house? Hezekiah answered, all the things that are in my house, they have seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not shown. My treasures. God gave them to you, Hezekiah. God favored you. God did everything for you. God defeated the enemy. It's not you. It's not your kingdom. It's God's kingdom. That's why some of us can't receive his kingdom. It's because we're too consumed with our own kingdom. That's why Jesus said, you can't follow me unless you deny yourself. Something happened to Hezekiah. After God blessed him, he started to think, well, maybe I am somebody special. Maybe I am somebody great. This is the great Hezekiah. The Bible says there was none like him. He was a great king. None of us are invincible, my friends. That's why the Bible says you got to examine your heart lest you fall. Search me, O Lord. Hezekiah ended up showing his house, how great he is, how many things I have. Look at this. Look what I've accomplished. The prophet says, wait a minute. Hear the word of the Lord, Hezekiah. Behold, the days will come that in thy house, that which thy fathers have laid in store of thy city shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And thy sons shall issue thee, and thou shalt beget, shall be taken away, and they shall be eunuchs in the place of the king of Babylon. Oh my goodness. Another prophecy comes. Remember, his promises, his prophecies do not come with expiration. But it came. It didn't come right there. But it came several years later. In the year 586, Israel was taken into captivity by Babylon. And so you opened the gate to Babylon, Hezekiah, and showed all your treasures, how great you are. And it is by Babylon that you will go into captivity. You opened up your door for the Babylonians, and now the Babylonians are going to come and close the door on you. Wow. Whatever you sow, you reap. Your pride has brought you down, Hezekiah. No matter how great you are, friends, you got to watch your heart. We've seen this over and over again. So now watch this. Because of his sin, because of Israel's sin, they went into captivity, the first captivity in 722. The 10 lost tribes, they got amalgamated with the Assyrians. It happened because of their sin. And now the second captivity, because of sin. Not necessarily because of Hezekiah only, but because of the nation of Judah, they rebelled against God. Has this happened before? Absolutely. The great reformers in the Old Testament, the great kings like Asa, Uzziah, even Solomon. Solomon started so well, but because of his love for women, and he ended up serving their gods. And because Solomon forsook the things, and we see this in 1 Kings 11, God had a word for Solomon. I will split your kingdom. And that's exactly what happened. He started building altars, images of these false gods, even the god of Moloch and Chemosh, where they would sacrifice children. Solomon went back to those ways. This is Solomon, whom God appeared to twice, who God blessed. We see this with Hezekiah. Have we seen it before? Yes, we have. King Asa, tremendous revival under his ministry. My goodness, people came from all over to hear what God had done through Asa's life reform. And then later on, the Bible said he ended up trusting in Syria. He disregarded God, who blessed him. And because he disregarded God, he didn't even seek his face any longer. He sought the counsel of men. And God gave him a disease, allowed a disease to take over, and he died from it. How the mighty have fallen. Asa started so well. Is there anybody else? Yes. King Uzziah also started so well. God blessed him. In fact, his name became famous throughout the land. He had new inventions that caused Israel to be on the forefront of technology during that time. And God honored him and blessed him and brought peace from his enemies. And what happened in 2 Chronicles 26, one of the most horrifying scriptures, I'll read it for you. It's found in the 15th verse. It says here, but when he was strong in his heart, speaking of King Uzziah, his heart lifted up to destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord, for his God went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense, and God turned him over to a leper. And so the Bible says he lifted up his heart, and then it says he was marvelously helped till he became strong. He was marvelously helped till he became strong. And when he was weak in his eyes, God blessed him. When he became strong in his heart, he began to operate as a priest. He had no business doing priestly work. He was a king. He thought he was invincible. There's nothing he can do. And he was lifted up, his heart. The devil lied to him. And that's what pride does. It makes you think you can do everything you want. There's no one like you. And God turned him over. And he died from leprosy. What a horrible thing. Friends, it happens. It happens to these great men because they thought they were invincible. They thought they were invincible. Oh, friends, we've got to be careful. This is a word to the wise. That's why when we take communion this Friday, we're having communion, you'll hear me often say, let a man examine himself. Paul said that. Search me, O God, see if there's any wickedness. Take heed, lest ye fall. Let a man thinketh that he standeth. Be careful, lest ye fall. Take heed. In other words, This is an antidote, if you will, against pride. You know, pride will tell you, I'm invincible, I'm okay, everything's fine. But you see, humility will say, Lord, look at my heart, examine my heart. Many great men have fallen who started so well. Hezekiah fell. Now watch this now. You see, friends, without God, what am I but a guide to my own destruction? Without God, what am I but a guide to my own destruction? Look, friends, growing closer to God is not a result of trying harder and doing this. But I'll tell you what it is. It's surrender. It's when you surrender to God. That's how you get closer. And Hezekiah didn't surrender. He became more arrogant and more self-sufficient. That's why the national anthem of hell is, I did it my way. That's what happened to Uzziah. He was marvelously helped till he became strong and did things his way. You get your eyes off God. And so now Hezekiah, the Bible says he dies here. And notice, when Hezekiah slept with his fathers and Manasseh reigned in his stead. Manasseh was the son of Hezekiah. Now watch this, folks. So many life lessons. So Hezekiah was a great king, but he didn't end up so good. And now Manasseh is born, his child. The Bible says was one of the most evilest kings that ever lived. But in this evil state, we see the grace of God in an incredible way. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Now watch what happens in chapter 21. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. Can you imagine that? 12 years old and 5 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hephzibah. And we don't see him having any training or anything when it comes to Hebrew discipline of any sorts. There's no education spiritually. Just like with Solomon, his mother raised him. His mother was a pagan. Remember, David was a great man of God, but he was a horrible father. He didn't raise his children in the ways of the Lord. None of David's children served the Lord. Can you imagine that? The great man, David? Samuel, the great prophet and priest. None of his children served the Lord. It's hard to imagine. We think that Solomon served the Lord. He did. But at the end, he went astray terribly. Many say he repented at the last moment. Perhaps he did. But he caused terrible damage to Israel. Listen, friends. Now watch this. Hezekiah has a son named Manasseh. Hezekiah still was considered to be a good king. He made a mistake, a terrible mistake. But he was still considered, the Bible says, a righteous king. But his son was evil completely. Manasseh was completely evil. Listen, friends, because you have a walk with God and you might be a parent, a father, a mother, you have a child, and that child, you know, that child doesn't become a believer just because of you. Now, you can pray for the child. I know what the Bible says, train up a child, the way he shall go when he gets old, he will not depart. We know that, but you got to train. Manasseh wasn't trained. David's children were not trained. There were choices to be made. Manasseh chose not to serve the Lord despite his father. Listen, God has got no grandchildren. Just because you're raised in a Christian home doesn't mean you're a Christian. Just because your parents are Christians doesn't mean you're a Christian. You've got to experience it for yourself. And we see this over and over again. And that was the problem with the Jews, with the Pharisees, with Jesus. They said, Jesus, will you come in to teach us about God? Our father is Abraham. And Jesus said, your father's not Abraham. Your father's the devil. You imagine that? They thought they were saved, if you will, because of their pedigree, because of the fact of their forefathers, because of Abraham and so on. Believers, or they may have been believers in their heads, but they had no relationship with God. You're not saved because of some past experience that somebody else had. You're not saved because your mother or father. No, friends, you've got experience. And we see this here. Manasseh had nothing to do with God. He was an evil, evil king. The Bible said he built up again these high places that Hezekiah tore down, his father. He built altars to these false gods. And he made his sons to pass through the fire. That's what Solomon did. That's what Solomon built. Can you imagine that? He built altars to the god of Chemosh and Moab. These were gods that received children for sacrifice. Abomination. And abominations. He said, my God, how can this be? And we know this in chapter 33 of 2 Chronicles. Now watch this now. It's unbelievable. And so Hezekiah, the Bible says, he caused the children to pass through. And what did he do? And he used witchcraft, enchantments, wizards, spirits. He dabbled in the demonic. This man was a vile, vile king. He started off terribly. But friends, I want you to see the mercy of God. I want you to see the grace of God. Now watch this, verse number 9. You figure this, no hope here. And so here we have great kings who started so well, who ended up terribly. Asa, Uzziah, Hezekiah. And now we have the opposite. We have Manasseh, who was horrific. Watch what happens to him. So Manasseh, verse 9 of chapter 33 of 2 Chronicles. Made Judah, all the inhabitants of Israel, to err, do worse than the heathen whom the Lord had destroyed. This man did worse than the heathen kings to Judah. And the Lord spoke to Manasseh and to the people, but they would not hearken. Wherefore the Lord brought upon him the captains of the hosts of the kings of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. And so the Lord, notice, sent the captains of the host of Syria to bring him into captivity. The Lord sent. The Lord, not the devil, the Lord. And I want to park here for a minute Many times when we see tragedies or painful experiences happen, we think it's the devil all the time. It's not. It's the Lord allowing it to happen for a reason. For a reason, for a reason. God doesn't design circumstances. He doesn't design accidents. He designs purpose. There's a purpose for these things to take place. And so watch this now. He is now in fetters and chains. He's taken to Babylon. And when he was afflicted, he besought the Lord God and humbled himself greatly before the Lord. And he prayed and he entreated the Lord. And the Lord turned his captivity around. The Lord forgave him of his sins. And verse 16, and he repaired the altar of the Lord and sacrificed before the Lord. He repented of his sins. This is the worst king possibly ever. God turned him around. How did it start? The Lord sent the Assyrians to afflict them. God does that, friends. You know, it's amazing because in 2 Kings 17, verse 25, 2 Kings, the Bible says the Lord sent lions to afflict the Assyrians when they came to capture the northern tribes. Amazing story. And when they had these lions attack them, the Assyrian king said, wait a minute, maybe God is saying something here. And he asked the priests to come that were in captivity to come back and to teach them the ways of the Lord. And that's what happened. But the Lord used the lions to afflict this. Have we seen this before? Absolutely. In Numbers, I believe the 21st chapter, the Bible says the Lord sent serpents to afflict Israel. Serpents. And they repented and turned to God. The Lord sent a famine in the days of Jacob. And that famine brought Jacob to Egypt, where Joseph was. And eventually they became a nation because the famine brought them to where they needed to be. Sometimes God will use a famine. Sometimes God will use a storm. Sometimes God will use a lion. This is not the devil. This is the lie. This is God himself. Sometimes God will use a COVID-19 to draw people to him. Friends, let me tell you something. Manasseh was away from God, but when the Assyrians came and abducted him and captured him, he cried out to God. When the lions came, they cried out to God. When the serpents came, they cried out, and they turned to God. Friends, I believe that COVID is just that. God is getting us attention so that we can cry out to him. Turn from our wicked ways, according to 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter. If I send a pestilence, if I send a famine, a storm, a lion, whatever it is. And if you repent and turn, I will heal your land. I will heal you. He heals Manasseh. This was not an accident. God doesn't design accidents. His was a purpose. He allowed this to happen for a purpose. Listen, friends, listen. Presidents don't change nations. Repentance does. Repentant. He repented and his life changed. And now he has a son. Now watch this. He has a son. What grace. This is God's grace. God is always crying out, trying to bring you back. To bring the Manassehs of the world. That's what I believe COVID is. To bring back people to him so we can turn to him. Manasseh has a son. He was a wicked son. You see, we see this constantly. A good king having a bad son. A bad king having a good son. It's amazing. What this tells us, it tells us the power of choice, friends. That we have decisions to make. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. So here's Manasseh. He repaired the altar that he broke. Listen, friends, there's no fire without an altar being repaired. There's no fire without an altar being repaired. That's what happened to Elijah. He repaired the altar first, then the fire came down. Manasseh repaired the altar. God restored him. He has a son. And the Bible says that his son was so wicked, so wicked. The Bible says, verse 24, that his servants inspired against him and slew him in his own house. This is Manasseh's son. And what did they do? And the people of the land slew him. And the people of the land made Josiah, his son, king instead. Josiah, the son of Ammon, a wicked, wicked king. here's this roller coaster again. And now Josiah is the king, and the Bible says he did what was right in the Lord. Did you see that? He did what was right in the Lord. At 8 years of age, he was began to seek the Lord. 8 years, he's crying out to God. This is eight, as what? As his father David. You see, whenever you see crying out to the Lord, whenever you see a heart that's right before God, you always see David's name there. This is why God, because David set a precedent that if you're going to do anything for God, you must have a heart after God. That's the key to all things. Listen, when God takes his measuring tape, he never puts it around your head. He puts it around your heart. That's how he measures a man. Heart. How is your heart, friend? And Josiah begins to cry out to God like his father David, his grandfather, Manasseh. That's right. Can you believe that? And he begins to purge out the images, the false gods in the land, and he breaks them down, the altars of Baalim, verse 4. And when he had broken down the altars of the groves, he beaten the graves, the images, to powder. And a great revival breaks out under Josiah. They're cleansing the temple. They find the book of the law that was lost under Josiah. A revival breaks out. The book is brought back to Josiah. Josiah is overwhelmed. He rips his clothes. Remember, that's a sign of repentance and a time of humility and brokenness before the Lord. And he asks the priest to inquire of the Lord, verse 21 of Israel. And the word of the Lord comes through Hilkiah, the prophetess, of Hilda, the prophetess. And she gives a word to Josiah. She answers them. Tell the man who has sent me, thus saith the Lord, I will bring evil upon this place. What? Because they have forsaken me. Wrath will come upon them. But for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, so shall you say to him, thus saith the Lord God concerning the words, because your heart was tender, and you humbled yourself before the Lord, and your humbles and you wept before me, I have heard thee. Behold, I will gather thee, thy fathers, and thou shalt gather to thy grave in the place, neither shall thine eyes see evil. I will bring upon this place. What a word. Now I want you to understand this. Josiah hungers after God. He is the son of Ammon, a terrible king. Early, he's just a kid. That tells me that it doesn't matter how old you are, you can have a relationship with God, whether you're 10, 12, 63, 40, it doesn't matter. It's all about the heart, and God sees his heart. He's hungry for God. He cleansed the land. He goes into the temple. They discover the word of God. Josiah now is overwhelmed. A word from the Lord comes to him, says, look, you know, he says, Josiah, God's going to protect you, but he will still judge the land. Remember, he gave a word that Judah will go into captivity with Hezekiah. Remember that? And God's promises are yes and amen. And they were going to happen. And it's exactly what happened. But I'm going to spare you, Josiah, because you sought after me. Wow, what a life lesson. I will protect you because you cried out after me. I've seen your tears. And so now watch what happens. We want to close with this. And so, behold, I will gather thee and thy fathers. And the king went, watch this now, verse 30, into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the priests and the Levites, great and small, and they read in their ears all the words of the book of the law, just like it happened in Ezra's day. So now Josiah takes the word of God. Here it is. Oh, friends, he valued the word of God. Every great man values the word of God, takes the word of God for what it is. Not like today, we take and pick and choose what we want. We've turned God's word into a buffet. We go to a restaurant, we go to a buffet, we go to the Mandarin, and we pick whatever we want, and we don't want this, we don't take that, we take this. God's word is not a buffet. You don't pick and choose. No, all the words. Today, listen, friends, God will not rewrite the word of God to satisfy the whims of this generation. We must believe all the word. And as the word is being read, their hearts are touched and moved, just like it was. So much joy that they couldn't distinguish laughter from crying in the times of Ezra. I see a similar scenario once the word of God is preached. Oh, there's power. The word of God, my friend, is a lamp unto my feet. Never, never tamper with the word of God. The word of God is bread for daily use. It's not like, it's not a cake for special occasion. We just pick and choose. And no, friends, the word of God must be received. I will meditate upon your word day and night, David said. Lives were being touched, and the king stood in the place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk in the Lord, to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his heart and his soul, to perform the words of the covenant that was written. I'm going to follow your word. I'm going to stand on your word. Not like today. You stand on God's word and people call you a hater of truth. They'll call you a bigot. Truth sounds like hate, my friends, when you hate the truth. Did you know that? People are against the Bible because the Bible is against them. Josiah says, no, I'm going to follow your word all the way. Now watch what happens. And he caused all that were present in Jerusalem, Benjamin, to stand. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God. They followed his example and made all that were present in Israel to serve the Lord. In all the days they departed not from following the Lord. Wow. There's a little king at 8 years old started this reform. Look what happened through this man. It's amazing when you study Hebrew history, the life lessons that you learn. We learn a very important one, friends, because you start well doesn't mean you end well. We learn that we must walk daily before the Lord and keep our eyes on him each and every day. We learn about the power of God's word, that word, his word doesn't change. Stand firm upon his word. We learn that the devil, when God gives you a victory, be careful, because he'll let pride come into your heart and tell you, see, I'm invincible, just like it happened with Hezekiah, Asa and Uzziah, and they fell. Oh, my friends, don't allow pride to fester. It's always because of God. It's always because of what he can do. Josiah led the way, the word. He stood on the word. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. Everything else is sinking sand. Oh, my friends, it was in his example. And people followed that example, just like a David. You know, David said, and David went up to Mount Olives. We see this in 2 Samuel 16. And he wept and went up, and his head was covered and with bare foot. And all the people followed his example. As David repented and walked up Mount Olives, the people followed his example. Oh, my friends, people will follow your example more than your opinions. Let me tell you something, friend. I would rather see a sermon than hear one. Did you hear me? I would rather see a sermon than hear one. For more things are caught than taught. Josiah's life inspired the people of Judah. He followed his example. Are people following your example, my friend? What kind of example are you setting? You see, friends, there's no chemical solution to a spiritual problem. There's no chemical. Hey, the spiritual problem is sin. And when you begin to change and walk in the ways of the Lord and stay firm, people are going to follow that example. Oh, you'll be rejected as well, but people will follow your example more than what you say. Your life, how you live. The world changes by your example, not by your opinion. And I know that people will hate you because of Christ, but they should never hate Christ because of you, your example. That's what Josiah did. Be an example, friend. Learn from these experiences that we have read. I read this word and I say, my God, touch my heart. Let me see through these men's. That's why we study these Bible characters, to glean spiritual truth. And we looked at three particular men today. They all started well. One started terribly, but turned around. You see it? What's the bottom line? It's not how well you start, but how you finish. And that's why Jesus said, he that endures to the end will be saved. No past blessing secures a present one. Successing yieldings of the Spirit. That's what we need. Successive. We yield daily to the Lord. You see, Asa didn't do that. Uzziah didn't do that, nor did Hezekiah, nor did Solomon. Manasseh turned around. It's never too late to turn around. Doesn't matter how ugly your sin is, how dark your past is, how painful your past. Listen, I don't care how painful your past is. Doesn't mean you can't have a powerful future. With God, all things are possible. The devil will tell you it's too late. It's never too late. Look at Manasseh. Give your life to Christ, friends. Turn to him today. Do what Manasseh did if you need to do that. And do what Josiah did. Be that light. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father who's in heaven. What a tremendous lesson. What a tremendous story we have before us. I trust that the Lord will cause your heart to be tender towards these truths. Father, I thank you for your word. I ask your blessing today, Father. Your blessing that we would learn from these men's lives. Lord, from Hezekiah, who started so well but allowed pride to enter in. And he died, allowed the captivity of Judah to take place. My God, help us to learn from Asa, not to rely upon the arm of flesh. Help us to learn, Lord, from Uzziah that he depended upon himself. He was marvelously helped till he became strong. Help us to learn from Josiah, Lord. Lord, that he led by example and he hungered after you as David did. Help us, Father, to see these things. Help us to take heed according to your word, to search our hearts. I thank you and I give you praise in Jesus' name. God bless you, brothers and sisters. I pray that the Lord has encouraged you today and we are excited about what's happening. This Friday, I want you to join us for Good Friday communion service and Sunday morning, Easter, Resurrection Sunday. We are all excited of what God's going to do. We love you. Thank you for joining with us today. And we, Lord willing, will see you again this Monday as we continue Facebook Live each and every day. Bye for now.